Good morning to everyone. Today is the third Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the third Sunday after Pentecost is from the first letter of St. Peter the Apostle. Dearly beloved, be you mindful, be you humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in the day of visitation, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Be sober and watch, because your adversary the devil has, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist ye, strong in faith. Knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. As for the words of the epistle, please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Luke. At that time, the publicans and the sinners drew nigh unto Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, What man of you hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, lay it upon his shoulders, rejoicing, and coming home, call together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance more than upon 99 just who need not penance. Or what woman having 10 groats, if she lose one groat, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, call together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, because I have found the groat which I had lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. As far as the Holy Gospel, please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, the first thing that's pointed out in this Gospel is that we should have the right attitude towards one another. The first attitude that was expressed was that of the scribes and Pharisees. And even before that, Jesus' attitude was shown because he allowed the sinners to come to him. Take careful notice that it was Jesus who allowed the sinners to come to him, and not Jesus who went out where the sinners were. Jesus drew the sinners by his goodness to himself. And so he showed a good example and his love to them. And they were moved to come to him by this example. And then this attitude of the scribes and Pharisees, when they saw sinners going to Jesus and that he was actually taking food with them, they were scandalized and they said, that he receives sinners and eats with them, and that's not good. So their attitude was, to hell with the sinners. We're good guys. And Jesus is wrong. Now, this is not the Catholic attitude. And we look at what's wrong with it. First of all, it is very important to be good and just. And yet, There is none among us who has not sinned or who has not failed God in one way or the other. And we're all sinners under the sentence of the original sin, which was passed down to us through Adam. We're contracted by the very fact that we're born of human parents. So, the one attitude which receives the repentant sinners, draws them by goodness to imitate that good example. The other side is those who think that they're good, and they're not necessarily as good as they think they are, and condemn others who, to them, appear worse. And that's the Pharisees. And you see, Jesus had to teach them. There were two famous heresies in France, the Albigensian heresy and the Jansenist heresy. Now, the Jansenists condemned sin very strongly, and they spat upon sinners from a very high altitude. And they believed even that these would not receive pardon and forgiveness from God. That God does not have mercy on sinners. And that was a heresy. The church had to condemn it. The man's name who began it was Jansenius, thus the name of the heresy, Jansenism. And it started in a monastery of nuns in Port Royal, in France. So it was a very specific people, a very specific place where this heresy began. And God's answer, besides the having the Pope condemn Jansenism as a heresy, he sent his only son again in an apparition to a nun, St. Margaret Mary, who showed her his heart. Jesus showed his heart to her. There we have the origin of the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And this devotion reminds us particularly of Jesus' love for all of us. You know that Jesus loves the greatest saint among us. He also loves the worst sinner in this room. The same. Of course, he is not pleased with our sins. That offends him. And yet he still loves the sinner and wishes nothing more than their repentance and that they would love and obey him afterwards. That is the attitude of a Sacred Heart. So he loves the greatest saint among us, and he loves the worst sinner, and everyone in between, because he loves all of us, because he created us. We are like his flock of sheep. St. Gregory takes today's parable of the lost sheep, and he says that the 99 are the angels, the good angels. The bad angels are sinners too, but you know that he counts them out of the whole picture and says the 99 are the good angels, and the 99 sheep are that don't get lost are the good angels, and the one lost sheep is the whole human race, lost to heaven by the sin of Adam, and He goes looking. And when he comes to find his sheep and finds it, he puts on his shoulders the sheep. Carries the sheep with him. And this, St. Gregory says, is a sign of how he put on a human nature. The second person of the Blessed Trinity became a real man. And this putting the sheep on his shoulders reminds us that he's puts a human nature on his person and became a man. And when he carries him home, of course, this means he brings him into the number of those who are in God's grace again, because being lost is lost, losing grace. You know, the ones that are unbaptized and not received grace yet, they're brought back on the shoulders of our Lord when they are baptized, and those that are fallen away in mortal sin and lose grace, and they recover the grace, Jesus carries them. Because they're found again, they've found the grace that they lost. And they are now again able to be children in good stead with the Lord. So he goes out looking for his lost children to bring them back to himself. And in the second part of the gospel, we have the other parable which he told them about the woman who had 10 groats. Now, we don't use that word frequently in modern English, a groat. We would say something like 10 diamond earrings or something like that. A woman who had five pairs of diamond earrings or pearls or something like that. Right? She loses one of them, and she counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Let me try again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Uh-oh. One of them is missing. And they're very precious to her, and a woman in her jewelry is like, you know, like a boat and its anchor. You got to have both, you know. So there, she's not happy until she finds what she's lost, because it's precious to her. And so she looks, and she goes out searching. And when she has found it, then she is very happy, because everything is perfect again. Things that were made imperfect before become again perfect. The loss has been recovered. The goodness which went away is now back. And the woman is now pleased. And she's happy enough to go out and tell her neighbors about it. Usually you don't tell your neighbors about your jewelry, because then everybody will know that you've got jewels in the house, and the jewel thief will come and get them. So you don't usually advertise. But if you can trust a few people, you might rejoice with them because you're happy about it. And so that's the parable, another parable, reminding us how God is not happy unless we come to Him. There is something of His desires lacking. Not His desires for Himself, because God is perfect in Himself. He does not need us to be happy in Himself. But because He loves creatures, you and me, so for that reason He feels incomplete when he loses a soul to the devil, to sin. And so he calls us back. And that is why the good Lord, being so lovable, so patient, and so desirous of our service that he made us to give him, that he attracts sinners. And sinners, where they see his goodness and his mercy and his patience, they come running to Jesus. They want him. Everything that we love because of what we see in it that's good. Jesus says the same thing. When he wants his children to be good, and we see that he's good. And so there's love between us and our Lord. And so this attitude of condemning our neighbors is not good. That's the attitude of the Pharisees. And of course, the reason why they had that attitude is because at the end, if we have not repented and it's all over, our life will come to an end one day. And if we have not made ourselves good with Christ by then we will also be condemned with our sins. But that is why we have a period of time on planet Earth. That is why we have a lifespan. So that those of us, all of us who have sinned, can have time to repent and get to know the good Lord like we should and love and obey him. In doing so, be able to repent of our sins, to live holy for a period of time, and die that way, so that we can go and spend our eternity where God meant us to be when we died, which is with him. So let us not have the attitude of sinning just because God is good. That is presumption. And that's what would be correct in the Pharisees' attitude. But they failed to see the whole picture. The rest of the picture they did not see or didn't want to see is that Jesus wants us to change before it's too late. And so he receives sinners who come to him. He receives them and their repentance. And he takes away their sin and the guilt of it when they repent. And receives them as friends. Friends of Jesus. Who truly know him as he is. And his Father, and they truly love him and obey him in this world. It's our love which helps us to obey. If we don't love Jesus, we're not going to obey very easily. But when we truly love him, obedience will be natural for us. That's why we always have to increase our love for the good Lord. And the Pharisees then condemn their neighbors, and it's so easy for us to condemn our neighbors, especially today, and especially traditional Catholics. We have this problem much more than others do in general. And the reason is because we feel that we have some advantage. We're somehow better than others. And in a way, there is truth in it. In fact, that we do have the traditional Mass, and others have thrown it away. But that does not necessarily make us better. What that makes is the fact that we know better in some points than others do. But there were times when most of us did not know better. And at that time, it would not be right to hate us or despise us. What would be right is that we would be encouraged to do what is good and to embrace what is better. And that is why many of us are here, because someone did that for us, even if we don't know who it was. So we have this attitude of the Pharisees, which was that of the Jansenists. Jansenius and his nuns, they were, as the Pope called them, as pure as angels, but as proud as devils. And God detests pride. And he would want the Jansenists to humble themselves so that he could give them his grace, because God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. So that's the way he would look at the Jansenists. He wants them to humble themselves and remember that Jesus loves them, and even the sinners. Yes, even the worst sinner that you know in this room. You know, God loves them. And he wants nothing more than they should change their hearts and obey him afterwards. So we also often have tendency to condemn people. You take one classic example, and that is out on the road and somebody is driving crazy and it upsets you because it puts you in danger, others, and it's quite flagrant, you know, disobedience to the traffic laws and so on. We see that and it automatically we get upset and we tend to go too far with it. You know, of course, being upset is not necessarily wrong because There's a problem there. But we often go too far and curse them or wish evil on them or something else. And that's where we go to excess. You know? The right attitude is to say, "Dear God, bless them. May they get home safe. May they not run over anybody, and especially not me. And may they convert their hearts and become holy saints and good friends and go to heaven someday. And while you're at it, Lord, do all those things for me too." And then we see it's, even though there doesn't make the problem just disappear, God sees it. He is not unhappy with you for the right attitude, whereas he would be if you had the wrong attitude. In fact, he's rather pleased to see that somebody has patience still out there. He's willing to have others change for the better. And when we do this kind of thing, whether it's road rage or anything else, you know, we pray for a sinner, God is touched. And he will do much more for that person that you had to pray for. Because of your charity, than we can imagine he would do. He will do great things for them and for you. Because God is moved by our patient charity with our neighbors. It's just like our guardian angels. They hammer us to be good and be careful and watch out for making mistakes, knowing, and they save us from all kinds of perils. We forget all about them. But if we pray to our guardian angels, they do a whole lot more than otherwise they would be able to do. Why? Because we did pray. It's one of the sort of dogmas of the faith that falls under the article that we say in the Creed of the Communion of Saints. I believe in the Communion of Saints. Right? And God believes in teamwork. It's not a one-man show out here. We're here to help each other go to heaven. But first of all, to help ourselves go to heaven. But when we team up, good things happen. It goes much better. So you pray to your guardian angel. Pray to the guardian angel of your neighbor too. It's one way to get to him without letting him know it's you. And then you circumvent any kind of trouble that might arise from that, right? And the good things happen. So today let us remember our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sacred heart, the tremendous love that Jesus bears for us. Let us have similar love for him and for one another. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.